We appreciate that tonight. Take your Bibles, please, and join me this evening. First off, in the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll begin there. Look at one verse. We have several verses we'll look here at the beginning. I'll work to be finished on time. We have communion tonight, and so we'll not try to drag on too long. Although I am intrigued by the fact that Stephen last week, got through about 10 minutes early. So I thought about taking that extra 10 minutes and adding it to my minutes. But I was told in the choir tonight I was not allowed to do that. So I will try to listen and obey. Somebody in the choir tonight said, if we start doing this number, that means it's time to quit. I said, I don't pay too much attention to that, but when they start going like that, then I pay attention. So now, in about 20 minutes, I'll see all of you going like that, probably. All right, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's begin here. Verse number 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You might want to underscore that little phrase in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I want to challenge our thinking tonight with this particular subject, gift of all gifts. There are several passages of Scripture that talk about this wonderful gift that we have from the Lord. For example, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse number 15. It simply says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That's the Lord Jesus, the unspeakable gift. It's hard to describe Him. He's unspeakable. It's hard to comprehend all there is about the Lord. He's that unspeakable gift. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. There's the gift. God sent forth His Son, gave us His Son. It says, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent forth His Son. And then, of course, you're familiar with that great golden verse of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He, what?
Gave
His only begotten Son. This gift of all gifts. It was back in the early 1960s that I received at that particular time in my life what I thought was the gift of all gifts. I was a little boy. It was Christmas time, and I went into the living room of our home, and there sat next to the Christmas tree this wonderful, beautiful, bright, fire engine red two-wheel bicycle. I dreamed of it for quite a while, and I had it that Christmas. It was wonderful. I remember my first attempts to ride it. I remember falling off of it. I remember Dad picking me up, putting me back on it, helping me get back going again. It was a wonderful gift. I enjoyed it. I appreciated it. I still have an old black and white photograph of me sitting on that bicycle next to the Christmas tree. It was a wonderful gift. A few years after that, a little bit later in the 60s, I received another gift at Christmas time that at that particular time I thought was the gift of all gifts. It was a brand new portable reel-to-reel tape recorder. You remember the old TV show Mission Impossible? Remember how it used to come on the air with this little portable reel-to-reel in a phone booth or someplace, you know, like that, and then it'd fizzle after a while? That was the kind of tape recorder it was. Christmas that year was on a Sunday. And after I opened that present that morning, before we went to Sunday school, I convinced my dad to let me take it to church that morning. I used the excuse, I can record your preaching, Dad. Well, that sold that. That took care of that. He said, oh, okay, son, take it. So I took it with me to church that morning. I got the little reel all lined up, you know, and got everything in motion and set that thing on record. Dad started preaching. I pushed the record button. It was going away. Somewhere about 10, 15 minutes into his message, I thought to myself, I wonder if this thing is working. Now, don't get ahead of me. And so I stopped it, and I turned it on play. But I didn't realize I had the volume button all the way up. And Dad's sermon began to repeat itself in that auditorium. I got the evil eye from Dad all of a sudden, and he never let me take it again to church. That's all that. But that was the gift of all gifts for me on that particular day. I've gotten wonderful gifts all throughout my life. The Lord's been very good to me. Here a few months back, my wife and I got what we have felt was probably the most precious gift that we could ever get, and that was our first little granddaughter. And we've enjoyed playing with her the times we've been together. She has certainly been a very precious gift. Back in July of 1975, I received the most precious gift that I've ever received, and that was my precious wife. But it was in October of 1972 that I received the gift of all gifts. The gift of eternal life. A gift that can never ever be taken away, can never be corrupted, can never be removed. A gift that was given to me by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we want to talk about tonight. This is the Christmas season. Sometimes we lose sight of what Christmas is really all about. We enjoy the tinsel. We enjoy the trees. We enjoy the lights. I enjoy the decorations. It's beautiful in here. We started decorating our home last weekend when our daughter Christy was home with her husband and our granddaughter. We put up the Christmas trees while they were there because Christy has always enjoyed helping put up the Christmas trees. And so we dug those things out on Saturday and got them all put up. And we've been decorating the house ever since through this week. And I've still got boxes stacked in the living room I've got to go through and finish getting the house decorated. And we enjoy it. I enjoy Christmas very much. I enjoy going through the stores and seeing all the decorations. And one of these days here in the next week or so, we'll get downtown and see the Monument Circle with all the lights and decorations there. Those are all wonderful things, but that's not what Christmas is really all about. Those are beautiful trappings and beautiful and festive things to behold, but that's not what Christmas is really all about. So tonight, let's talk about this gift of all gifts, this wonderful Christmas present that God gave to us many years ago. Notice with me first off tonight that He is that good and perfect gift. We read that verse a moment ago in James chapter 1, verse number 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Jesus Christ is that good and that perfect gift. The Bible describes Him in a number of different ways. For example, Isaiah said of Him, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. What a wonderful verse to describe the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The angel said of Him in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The angel that appeared to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 said, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those verses, as well as many others that we could share with you tonight, describe the greatness and the magnitude of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is, the Son of the Highest, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. He is that good and perfect gift that came down from the Father of lights. And there was one reason why this gift came. There's one reason why God gave us this precious gift. It's a very simple statement. I think Ron Hamilton captured it very well in the song that he wrote some years back, Born to Die. The words are like this. On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where He lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Jesus knew when He came He would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow. But He left paradise. With His blood He paid the price. my redemption to Jesus I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sins to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. That's why we have this good and this perfect gift. He came into this world for the simple thing to die for your sins and for my sins, that we might have an everlasting salvation in Jesus Christ. Go to John 3:16 for just a moment. I know you're well familiar with the verse. You could sit there and quote it with me. Sometimes, though, I fear that we get so familiar with the verse that it sometimes escapes us. So look at it with me for just a moment tonight. John chapter 3, verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." There's three things there about this good and this perfect gift that has come down from the Father of lights. Notice first off, the miracle of the giver. "For God so loved the world that He gave." That's a miracle in itself. That God, the creator of this universe, the righteous one, the holy one, the God who hates sin and cannot look upon sin, that He would even want to send His Son to die for us, that's a miracle in itself. I don't think any of us would take one of our children, send them to any of the state penitentiaries here in the United States of America where someone is about to be executed for a crime that they have committed and say, "Here, take my child in their place and let them go." You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But God did. That's a miracle. The miracle of the giver that God gave. God sent forth His Son in Galatians chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He's the sacrifice for each one of us. There's the miracle of the giver. Then in that verse, you also see the miracle gift itself. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." The fact is that Jesus Christ was willing to come. God gave, but Jesus accepted. Jesus said, "I'll go." Do you ever stop to wonder what would have happened had Jesus said, "Father, I'm not willing to go"? Man, I shudder to think about that. But because of who Jesus is, that would not have happened. But boy, had it happened, we would be in a peck of trouble today, wouldn't we? It's a miracle that Jesus loved us enough to say, "Yes, Father, I'll go. I'll give my blood. I'll give myself. I'll give my life a ransom for this sinful world." Here's the miracle giver. Here's the miracle gift. But you also see in the passage the miracle of grace. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The miracle of grace. Why would God send His Son? Why would Jesus say, "Yes, Father, I'll go"? We could say tonight, well, it was an effort to fulfill prophecy. And you would be right. As far back as Genesis 3:15, we have the promise of a Redeemer. But the Bible even tells us in the book of 1 Peter that even before this world was ever created, God had already planned for Calvary. It was planned back before the foundation of this world. So why would God send His Son? Why would Jesus say, "I'm willing to go"? One simple reason. Grace. Just to demonstrate His grace. He loved us. Not that we loved Him. He loved us. Here's the miracle of grace. He is that good. He is that perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights. Not only is He the good and perfect gift, but second, notice tonight, He is also the finished gift. The finished gift. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. I do not know what I'm getting for Christmas this year. I talked to my son on the phone last night, and I think it was last night. Was it last night he called or the night before? Last night, I think it was. And he asked me, he said, "Dad, what would you like for Christmas? Would you like something from Honduras, or would you like for me to find something up there?" I said, "Oh, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't really matter at all. I haven't put any orders in this year. Usually I do. Usually I put an order in with my wife. Usually what happens is we're walking through the store, and I'll see something I like, and I'll say, "Hey, sweetheart, that would make a nice Christmas present there, you know?" And that's happened on a number of occasions. And usually she'll send me out of the store, and then she'll come out of the store with a package trying to hide it, you know. And so usually I get what I ask for, but I sometimes do that. I've been known also to figure out what I'm getting for Christmas. And that happened one year, about our second Christmas, I think, if I remember right, after we got married. And she had bought me a tiger eye ring that year for Christmas, and I forget how I found out about it, but I figured it out, found out about it, and I convinced her to give it to me around Thanksgiving time. And so then she had to go out and buy me another present. So, but you know, that's just kind of the way it goes sometimes in the Hunter family. But I don't know what I'm getting for Christmas this year, but let's suppose on Christmas morning the Hunter family is sitting around the Christmas tree. And we're opening up presents from each other. And I have a box there that says, "To Lou from Pam." And I open up that box. And this year, she has decided to buy me a shirt. Well, inside this box, there is some material. There's a spool of thread. There is a needle. There are some buttons. All packaged up nice and neatly, and there's a little note attached to it that says, "Dear sweetheart, Merry Christmas. Here is your new shirt. It is a do-it-yourself project. Have fun and enjoy the new year." Oh, well, I wouldn't know where to begin. That would not be a finished present, would it? That is no more ludicrous than believing that God has done that with salvation. There are some folks who believe that God the Father and Jesus Christ has provided everything necessary for our salvation, but that by our efforts and by our good works, we have to finish the project. How sad. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm glad the Bible teaches that our salvation is a finished gift. I am glad that when Jesus died on Calvary, the last words that left his lips was, "It is finished." I am glad that when we look at Calvary's cross, we see emblazoned across it, "Paid in full." When Jesus died on Calvary, he did not make a down payment for our sins. He paid for our sins. Lock, stock, and barrel, every single one of them. Past, present, future. Somebody one time said, "How in the world can you believe that Christ died for all your future sins? You hadn't committed them yet." Listen, when Christ died for my sins, I wasn't even born yet. All of my sins were future. And so were yours. But he died for them. And he paid for them. In full. We have a finished salvation. We learn something about that here in Hebrews chapter 10 in two verses. Think back for just a moment to the Old Testament tabernacle with me. The Old Testament tabernacle is a beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful study in itself. And as you look back to the Old Testament tabernacle, back into the book of Exodus, you'll see the different trappings and the different furniture and the different articles that were incorporated into that wilderness tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 25, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, and the golden candlestick. In Exodus 26, it talks about the curtains, the coverings, the boards, the sockets, the inner and outer veils. In chapter 27, it talks about the brazen altar. In chapter 28, it talks about the garments for the high priest. In chapter 29, there's the guidelines for the priesthood. And in chapter 30, there's the altar of incense and the laver of brass. But with every single thing that is mentioned about the different pieces of furniture and articles and items that were incorporated into the wilderness tabernacle, there's one piece of furniture that is missing. No chair. No place for the priest to sit. No place for the high priest to sit down. Wouldn't you think that they would get a little tired ministering? Pastor Sluice, don't you enjoy sitting down once in a while and taking your rest from your work and your labors of love? Sure. But there was no place for the high priest to sit in the tabernacle. He had to stand. Why? Because it was a continual ministry. There was no time to stop. It had to continue on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11 mentions that. It says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." The priest standing daily ministering. Not sitting, not resting, because it was a continual ministry. It had to be done over and over and over and over and over again. There was no chair for him to sit down in. But all that changed when Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice. Look at verse number 12. "But this man," speaking of Christ, "but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God." Why? It was done. The sacrifices were over. This continual ministry had ended. It was done. It is finished. Thank God we have a finished salvation. Thank God He is a finished gift. Thank God there is nothing left to do for our salvation. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is accept Him. And you will be saved. He is that good and that perfect gift. He is also that finished gift. Look at one last thing, please. He is also a receivable gift. Go to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. He is a receivable gift. This verse should stand out in your mind as well. Verse number 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Receiving Him. Some people have the habit at Christmas time of opening their Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. Anybody here do that? Any families here open presents on Christmas Eve? Okay, a few of you do. Any of you here let your children open one present on Christmas Eve? Yeah, one. Do they still beg for two? Yeah. Some open them on Christmas morning, some Christmas afternoon, evening. Families have different traditions and different habits that they cultivate through the years. But there's one thing about getting a Christmas present. A person can go out and buy the present, take it home, wrap it up in the most beautiful of packaging and ribbons and bows, put it under the tree, wait till Christmas Eve or Christmas morning or whenever for that individual to open that present that was bought with great love and great care. But it is still true that in order for that present that was bought and purchased by somebody else, for it to actually become yours, you have to reach out and take it. He can sit under the tree for a whole year, and if you don't receive it, it's not yours. It's only when you receive it that it becomes yours. And Jesus Christ is that receivable gift. But as many as received Him. You have to receive Christ. He's done everything necessary. God the Father has done His part. The Lord Jesus Christ has done His part. The Holy Spirit of God does His part by wooing and drawing. But there is a part you play in it. You have to receive. You have to say yes. You have to say, I want Him to be my personal Savior. He's that receivable gift. Now, I'm so glad that all may receive Him. I'm glad that the door of salvation is open to everyone. I'm glad that there are no exclusions. I am glad that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. I am glad that salvation is available to all. The Bible says in 2 Peter, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're sitting here tonight saying, I wonder if Jesus really died for me. Yes, He did. If you're sitting here wondering tonight, I wonder if I asked Jesus to come in my heart, I wonder if He'd really do it. Yes, He will. All may be saved. I'm also glad that all should receive Him. All should receive Him. When you stop to think what God the Father, what God the Son has done to provide salvation for you and for me, you should receive Him. You should. Because He did it for you. He loved you that much. And you can receive Him right now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Today. Right now is the time to come to Christ. Do you ever wonder why the angels came to the shepherds to announce the birth of Christ first? Why the angels didn't go to the royalty? Why they didn't go to the rich and wealthy of the city? Why did they go to the lowly shepherds out on the fields of Bethlehem and announce to them this glorious birth? I think part of the reason is that the lowly shepherds are representative of all mankind. Because that's where most of us live. That's where most of the world is. And I think that the shepherds are representative of all the world. And I'm glad that that announcement is for everyone. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That Christ Jesus is born in Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, remember, He was born to die upon Calvary. Dying, fulfilling the price that was needed to pay for your sin debt and for my sin debt. If you're here without Christ, the way you can enjoy the best and the greatest Christmas you have ever experienced is to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. Those of us who are here tonight and are already saved, we've already received this good and perfect gift, this finished gift, this receivable gift. We've already done that. May I challenge you tonight to be very cautious and not lose your deep appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done for you. I fear that so often we're like little children who receive a new gift or a new toy. And for 3 or 4 days, man, that toy is just the thing to get. They play with it constantly, all the time. But then you know how it goes. After a few days, you don't see them playing with it. After a while, you don't even see it. It might be stuck under the bed or in the back of the closet or down the bottom of the toy chest. It's because the newness has wore off. That's part of being a child. Well, we're children too. And if we're not careful, sometimes we let the newness wear off. And we get to the place where we don't really appreciate what we have in Christ. We lose sight of it. And as a result, we get kind of lackluster in our spiritual walk. We get lackluster in growing in Christ. We get lackluster in sharing the gospel. We get lackluster about going to church just because we let the newness wear off. This Christmas, let the Holy Spirit of God rekindle within our hearts a deeper love and a deeper appreciation for the reason for which He came, to be your Savior, to be my Savior, to give His life a ransom for you and for me. Would you bow your heads, please? Pastor Sluch, would you come?